Welcome to the ColbyCast episode 200. Thank you for joining us. As we celebrate our 200th episode, we are appropriately joined by some of the people that make Colby Academy a possibility. Two current Colby students, Noah and Caleb, join us to share their experience and wisdom of what it's like to be a homeschooling student in Colby Academy. We hope that you'll enjoy the show.
Hi there, I'm Bonnie, Colby homeschooling mom of four lads and lasses, liturgical musician, popcorn, and podcast fanatic.
And this is Stephen, homeschooling father of five and chief homeschooling officer for Colby Academy.
Stephen, how's your week going?
This is a very good week because we're recording during our Colby retreat, and we had Father Spitzer on today, and Monsignor Shea is going to be on tomorrow. So it's a great time for our students and our families, I think. But
yes, it's quite a gift to the Colby students to be able to attend this sort of retreat in the midst of the spring semester and during Lent to take some time to focus on such things and hear from such wonderful speakers. It's really quite a gift. I'm very glad for everybody who's getting to participate in that. Today, we're getting to visit with two Colby students. We're going to get to know them a little bit, hear how they make Colby work for them. So Noah and Caleb, welcome to the ColbyCast.
Hello.
Thank you very much.
I'm so glad to get to meet you guys and visit with you here a bit. Let's start with you, Noah. Would you tell us about yourself and kind of how you use Colby? That being, are you mostly online, offline? Do you do a mix? How do you make that work? So such things like that.
Yes. So I use Colby as kind of a hybrid in a way. So I do some online classes, and then I also do some homeschooling with my mother. And then we also, I know it's going away this year, but we also hook in with some of the self-paced resources and et cetera. But I really enjoy my online classes. They're all fantastic. And homeschooling, I think the reason why we chose a mix between online and homeschooling is definitely the homeschooling classes give us flexibility. And so if I want to say, like, I need these times for these classes, I can do that with the flexibility of being a hybrid and such. And so I use both. I've done it all in a way.
Okay, cool. I like that term hybrid. I tend to use that myself to describe how our family does it. We're similar in our mix of classes this year, online and offline. So what grade are you in this year?
This year I am in ninth.
Ninth grade. Okay, so that's the big year for it. And we've actually done a whole episode on the freshman year at Colby. How's it going for you overall?
Well, the first semester, it was a huge adjustment. A lot of increase in workload. The readings suddenly got insane, like the small little textbooks and readings you would have in middle school. And suddenly now, you read about this. Now we want you to read it. And it's just a big adjustment. But overall, I will say once I got used to it about end of first semester, really the second semester, it's a lot easier. And I have a lot more time. And then suddenly more assignments come up and you get through the later exams, et cetera. But I will say ninth grade year, although it's been an adjustment, it's been very enjoyable because I am privileged to be able to learn about some of these sources and actually read them.
Well, and as we continue in our conversation, I hope you'll share with us some of the ways that you have discovered that work well for you to manage that workload, how you kind of built up to where you are now, and any tips you have to pass along to students who are coming up behind you. Caleb, will you tell us about yourself and how you use Colby and similar sorts of things?
Okay, so I'm in Southern California currently, and we used to work with a kind of online-ish school where we'd have a kind of principal that was online, but we never actually saw her. We did homework daily, the same stuff every day. We would work through textbooks, but the parents had to grade everything. And eventually that got to the point where it was really wearing them down. So we had to find something else that would work for us. And we would prefer not to go to public school because it's kind of a mess sometimes. So we decided to try for online, and we found Colby Academy, and we decided to try them for a year and haven't looked back since. I started all the way back in seventh grade, and this is my third year. I'm in ninth currently, and this is my first year taking a full honors load, so it's been an adventure, that's for sure. Readings got heavier, like Noah said, and assignments piled up a lot. We've been writing a lot more papers and a lot more detail than usually. Like last year, eighth grade compared to this year, ninth grade in papers, it's much heavier workload, and we have a lot of, especially in English, a lot of meticulous editing, but it all pays off in the end with really good assignments. So it's been good that way. It's very satisfying for me when I finish a paper or a project and I can finally say I made that and it actually looks pretty good. So yeah, for me, I'm full-time online, Colby. I haven't taken any other courses yet other than online, but next year I will be returning to Colby and I'll be taking my first asynchronous self-paced course because I discovered that it wouldn't really work for my schedule if I took full online classes, so I had to kind of work around that. But I'm hoping this self-paced course allows for a little bit more schedule flexibility because I know that especially this year with all the honors load that it piled a lot of homework to the point where it almost kind of crammed up my normal outside life. So I wanted to make sure that I had the flexibility to go to the courses, and I would take honors for the courses that I know I cared about and I wanted to carry on into my career. For the courses, I wanted the core skills and not so much the honors, that I would just go back to the normal for that. And so far, that's worked out for my schedule for the next year. So that's what I plan on doing moving forward. But so far for this year, I'm pretty much full honors, which has been very fun, especially in biology. It's probably my favorite subject. And Mrs. Hoxie is just the greatest teacher. So that's been a really fun class for me. So yeah, that's pretty much my Colby background.
All right, very cool. We're big fans of Mrs. Hoxie here. She's been on the Colby cast a number of times, and we're big fans. Anytime we get to visit with her or hear about her, we're eager to do that. So you mentioned, both of you guys have mentioned the self-paced asynchronous courses. We did a recent episode on the new asynchronous courses, which are building upon the self-paced courses that you mentioned, Noah. So we'll link that episode in our show notes for people who are curious about that. You guys know each other, don't you?
Yes, actually. So last year was my first year,
And
eighth
it was my
grade.
second year. Okay.
Yes. And so I was in homeroom, IPC, and religion. And all three of those classes, we were in the same class, same section. So we got to know each other through that, but especially through homeroom, I would say. And eventually, we figured out that I was actually going like an hour south of Caleb, because my dad was going on a business trip. So our parents made an effort, and we actually managed to meet in person at the San Diego Zoo, and we have been friends ever since. So.
It was a big experience meeting a Colbian in person for the first time, especially at a place that a lot of people, younger people like us, really enjoy, like the zoo. It's so captivating to see humans taking care of animals, whether they be common or whether they be rare, in a natural habitat that you can just view and just be awed by their incredible capabilities that God gave them, and all that fun sciencey stuff, which is probably my favorite subject and is a big one for Noah too. So it was really exciting to meet that way. And yeah, it's been a really fun time ever since. We now have direct contact to each other, which has been really nice throughout the year. We kind of catch up with each other sometimes. Yeah, it's been a blast ever since.
That's great. Y'all live nowhere near each other day to day, but that's
Yes.
great that you were able to make a connection and meet in person. That sounds like a banner day. The San Diego Zoo meeting one of your schoolmates. That's great. Love that. And so your parents probably, so a lot of folks tend to ask how they can meet other Colby families. So I'll just throw this in here as an aside. The parents can make contact with each other through a variety of ways. And we'll link in our show notes the current way that's done so that they can make contact according to their wishes and then get their students in contact with each other.
Yeah, the connections that you're just like reminding me of things. Like, we live in Arkansas now. We were fleeing California, but one of the reasons we're here is from another homeschooling family that we got to know through some various, homeschooling related things. And so then we decided, look, if we work remotely, we can live wherever. Let's move to Arkansas. So those sorts of connections that just you don't think though across the country or long distance away, and somehow you're going to connect. But that's very nice.
Yes.
Oh, it's neat with Colby. It gives us the opportunity to meet folks far and wide. And yeah. So guys, tell me what a typical school day looks like for you. We'll start with Caleb this time. You being all online, what does a typical school day look for you?
So it can be quite packed, but generally, starting Monday, it's two class, three class, one class, three classes. Monday, I may have biology lab depending on the day because it's biweekly, so it's not always that day. But I also have an English class, like right before my lunchtime, so that's when English class starts for me. Then the day after that, I've got biology, and that happens every Tuesday and Thursday. Geometry also happens every Tuesday. Thursday comes after that. And then ancient Greek history happens only on Tuesday, right after geometry class. Then Wednesday, I've only got homeroom, which is actually kind of really nice because it's an easy class and I've got plenty of time to catch up on any homework that I may be kind of falling behind on or that I got to get done before the day. And I've got a lot of time to do it now because it's all morning classes for me. Starts at 8:20 ish, ends at 1 o'clock ish usually, and depending on the day, like at least 2 out of 4, I usually don't have a lot of time between those classes to do homework, especially on Wednesdays and sometimes Mondays. I get a lot of time to catch up on that, so that's real nice. And then finally on Thursday, I also have biology and geometry, and finally theology.
So on those days when you have those back-to-back classes, that's kind of a long haul. Do you get up and kind of stretch your legs a little bit, get a drink of water, or do you pretty much just power through?
So between biology and geometry, really on Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's like I get like maybe a 15-minute break, I think, and I can like stretch my legs, grab water, like I said, get all that stuff done, and then I just click into class and wait for it to open. But after the classes that come after geometry on Tuesday and Thursday, they're right back to back, so they start as soon as class ends. So I really have to rush through that, and that's why I usually am just a few minutes ahead of. Behind, I guess, how we want to look at it, the start time of those two, which can be a bit, I guess, nerve-wracking for me because sometimes I have to complete a quick, really quick task and I can back and, oh my gosh, 5 minutes have already passed. I've lost half my mic check time. So that can be a bit stressful sometimes, but I've kind of gotten used to it by now. So it's not such a big deal. But yeah, I do kind of have to haul through Tuesdays and Thursdays.
You're kind of running down the proverbial hall to the next class, sounds like, yeah. Okay, so then how do you tend to divvy up the homework time when you're not in class?
So it's a really big balancing act for me. It especially depends on the kind of assignment and how much there is due on a single day. So I often find myself working actually really heavily on the weekends because I often have a lot of homework due Monday, whether that be for like English often has a lot due. And like I said, we're getting into the nitty-gritty of editing, so it can especially take a long time for English, so I have to have a large amount of time set aside to do that. And then sometimes geometry assignments do get pushed to that day, which can sometimes you get a little higher on that, so I have to make time for that. So Wednesdays and Mondays, I also get a chance to kind of catch up. It's kind of like my balancing day where I can complete one or two assignments, and then I find the rest of my schedule is pretty balanced, so it's a pretty simple as far as homework days go. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have to work out a few kinks in those. Those are kind of a regular. Wednesdays usually is a big theology day for me because theology happens the day after that. So I do my reading, I do my quizzes, all that stuff. But it's really the weekends that really are the heaviest for me. And sometimes if I have a big project like a PowerPoint presentation for biology, I've done that before, and I have to do a lot of that over the weekend because it's all due Tuesday and Monday's too busy for me to do that. So if things pile up like that, I got to make sure I have plenty of time. So weekends can get pretty crammed. But I just kind of get through it because it's a really big balancing act where really every day is kind of busy. Takes probably spend at least 3 hours a day on homework, most likely at the very minimum, but usually can get bigger than that if I've got the normal schedule worked out. And then especially like when I got sick and couldn't use my voice anymore, I had a test and two papers due in like 3 days. So that was especially really bad for me because not only did I lose my voice, but I felt really lousy. I wanted to sleep. I wanted nothing to do with the homework. So I've just been thinking ever since then, what if I had not started the day before I got sick, just a little bit on my history paper, I would have been doomed if I hadn't done it. But I got it all done. I got a biology, my history paper, my biology lab, and my geometry test. I got it all done by then, like right at in the night. And so yeah, that can sometimes cram up if I feel particularly bad and I don't feel like my brain can take any more. But it's really a balancing act of homework, what I've got, and how I feel personally about doing it. And then I set aside the correct time for that. So yeah, it's wild, but I've gotten through it.
Okay. Sounds like you're working it out and figured out a good system for yourself. And in the little time that's left when you're not doing school, what do you like to do?
So mainly Tuesdays and Wednesdays are my big outside of school events. For Tuesdays, I have choir practice at the choir at my parish, which I enjoy very much. I discovered I got a kind of knack for the bass thing, so that's been really fun to join that section. And we have gotten to travel a bit to other places because we're like a one of a kind choir with our awesome director, so that's been really fun to do. And then Wednesdays is my parish's youth group night, so that's always fun to connect with other people at my parish. And it's just an especially really fun time because there's so many things to do. Sometimes there's activities, sometimes there's talks, sometimes you got birthday celebrations or game nights. It's a really fun time for me to connect with people. It's kind of like class, but you get it in like the real life, so you can see people face to face, which is a good thing about in-person contact. So those are my really two big things outside of school. But if I'm kind of like stuck in the house, then I'll just read, maybe play a few video games if I have time, because more often than not, I have to do homework instead of that. And then I've also recently gotten into the aquarium trade, and I plan on setting up my first tank pretty soon. So I do a lot of research, a lot of research on what's the best thing for that. So that's been especially a new hobby of mine. So that's pretty much my outside life.
That all sounds fantastic. Okay, Noah, let's hear about your hybrid school days. What do those look like, and how do you make that work?
Well, in the mornings, I get up. I typically give myself about an hour to get ready in the morning and etc. Have breakfast. And then basically from around 7 a.m. or so to, I give myself till 10, although it usually only takes till 9. I do math and such. And that's every single day. So math is getting longer. So I'm kind of glad I give myself till 10, but I will say that I enjoy it and it works for my schedule, specifically because I'm a morning person, especially with some of the harder subjects like math, science, and some of the humanities. After math, it's spent doing homework before online classes. If there's no online classes, it's still doing homework. But on Mondays, there's only one class, and that, like Caleb said, we're in the same lab section this year. And then Tuesdays, I have honors biology. After that, I have Latin one. After I've done any classes, I take a break, and because I would say the most important part of this school year, take a break, take breaks, step away from the computer, get outside, because your brain is processing so much information, it can't process it all at once. Once I take a break, and it depends on how long it is, I do more school, and then I take another break, have dinner, etc., come back up about 7 p.m., and then work, and then see how much I need to get done that night. I really found what helps is using a planner. Using a planner really helps, and I would highly recommend it because that allows me to, okay, I might not need to do this all in one day, so I can do it tomorrow. That helps me and gives me the flexibility to see that on paper. Wednesday's homework day. Do everything related to homework and such. The only class I have that day is the same homeroom as Caleb. On Thursday's my big day. I have classes from 11 till 4. So basically in the morning, math, of course. Also, being hybrid, we take some of the humanities. So if I have time, I can do the humanities in the morning, depending on how much online work is due. If not, that's pushed till later. And then basically classes, biology, Latin, and then theology. It's definitely hard with all of the classes back to back, because the only break I really get is, I would say, from Latin to Theo, which is like a 15-minute or so break. I prioritize going to the assemblies that Colby offers with the Spiritual Life Club. So on Monday and Thursdays, there's assemblies. I love going to those, I will say.
Your schedules are making me think of watching my kids grab a plate of food as they head up to their blocks of classes. It's like we're going to be up there for a couple hours or several
Yes.
hours. Let's just take snacks.
Yeah. So with your kind of hybrid setup, you have some offline classes and some online classes. I heard you say those tend to, well, math sounds like a fixture. The
Yes.
humanities classes, you kind of work that out from week to week depending on your load. So, do you tend to have sort of a set meeting time with your mom to work through stuff with those, or is that the same thing there? It tends to move at, you're flexible on that.
Yes, yeah, so I will say it moves, although almost always it will be Friday.
Okay.
With the humanities, I will say those are one of the classes that I cannot do. Or the courses that I cannot do the homework in one day. I have to spread it over the week because of how much reading it is. And so by the end of the week, it's actually much easier because you read and then you do the study guides that they have for the homeschool courses.
Yeah. And there are no online classes on Friday. So this tend to be,
Yes.
yeah. Okay. All right. I was curious about that. We've worked, tried several different arrangements of establishing a schedule for getting everything done like that too. So I'm always curious to hear how other people make it work. Okay. So when you're not doing school, what do you like to do, or what else are you up to?
Yes, so my interests and other things that I do include music. I play violin and piano, prefer the violin. Also, I very much enjoy chess and am an active member of the chess club here at Colby. Let's see what else. Oh, if the weather is applicable and I actually have time that I don't need to do homework later, I may go with my dad to play golf and such. I really enjoyed that. That's probably the main sport I'm into and only. I also do other social activities such as clubs, social relationships, etc. Spend time with my family. Favorite thing I like to do, walk my dog, because that helps me as well as helping the dog. So, I also enjoy board games and any other thing. It all depends on how much time is open. On the weekends, play video games, etc. and such. That's kind of how my day looks outside of school.
Sounds good. Do you guys have any memorable homeschooling experiences or experiences as a Colby student that you would want to share with us? They could be happy or cautionary, memorable in either way, if you want, like either way there.
Yes, I would say my best Colby memory is probably making relationships with people around the world and getting to know different people. I would say that Colby offers a lot of opportunities to get to know people, whether it be through homeroom. I would say homeroom, if you want relationships, if you want social, if you want to get to know people, get in a homeroom. If you're not already, if you're not in one, sign up for one. You won't regret it, I would say. But Homeroom really builds the community, builds relationships. Another part that Colby offers that builds relationships is clubs. Get involved is my highest piece of advice because you get to know people that you normally would not know. And also they generally all have the same interest as you. For example, the Spiritual Life Club. We all have the interest to get to heaven. And that's what Colby is aimed towards. But in the Spiritual Life Club, I would say you get put around people that all have pretty much the same desire as you, to put the first things first. So clubs are a great opportunity. Colby has the opportunities necessary for you to develop social relationships. And I would also say that you have the capability to establish relationships through Colby. Colby does not have a disadvantage being in online school. Be just because it's online doesn't mean you can't connect, because there's plenty of opportunities. It's your effort. If you're not having some of that communication and sociality, it's how much effort you put in. Colby has it there. It's whether you use it.
As for me, I have kind of one on either side. I have a really good tale and kind of a cautionary one. So I guess we should start with the, I guess let's start with the best. Really a huge Colby memory for me. I feel like the entire last year's Theology 8 class was a huge big memory. Yeah, I was with Mr. Castor, me and Noah were both in it. There was a lot of people in there that were really into the faith and more importantly, we love to chat about it. So it was a very active class. We would get on webcam like pretty much the entire time, and more often than not, every question someone like or maybe three someones would get on mic. And it was just a really fun time because sometimes we would even talk student to student, which sometimes doesn't happen a lot in class. It's often student to teacher. But student to student conversation on mic can be really helpful and meaningful, especially in theology context. So that really helped us advance. Maybe not so much in class time as in theology and understanding, because often we'd look at the time and go, "Oh, next slide, next slide." We'd sometimes stay in like a single slide for half an hour because we talked so much about that subject and all the subtopics to it. But it was just a blast. Especially if we had time at the end of class, we would get into what we call the octagon, where one side would play the church and the other side plays devil's advocate, and we'll debate a bunch of things like heresy or church doctrine, things like that. And it was just such a meaningful experience to debate, talk about, and learn about theology in that way. So if anyone's got the chance, anyone out there listening, I highly recommend you try to get Mr. Cassier because he's just the greatest guy, especially in theology. You won't regret joining his classes. So that's my ha happy tale, I guess. My cautionary tale. This goes way back to 7th grade. Here's the thing. History 7 would not work in my schedule for that year. So what ended up happening was I took History 8 that year, and then History 7 in my 8th grade, which that was interesting to say the least. But my very first writing assignment in History 8 when I was still in 7th grade, and I had no idea what was coming for me. So I just wrote like I had handwriting, and I handwrote a few paragraphs, terrible title, no MLA whatsoever. And I turned that in. I think it was like an A minus or something because I was new, so my teacher gave me a little bit of grace. But it was from then that I learned that you don't write, you use type, you type, you use Word for this. And that's when I got into MLA and stuff. And that's when I really became, oh, okay, it's not like my old school. This is really some detailed, serious stuff. So I don't know. That's when I really learned how I should use Word and stuff and how I write. But anyway, because of that one experience, really, they'll kind of turn out really bad and kind of embarrassing now that I look back on it. It really helped me out with recognizing what was the that what my personal writing style was, what was the best way to put that into word. And I got very much so better in Word in the following month. So that was a it was a bad thing to start with, but it did have benefits for me in the end. So that's my cautionary tale. Use Word, learn MLA before you try a writing assignment, even as far back as seventh grade, it does matter. So do your research.
Jumped in. It sounds like he swam, though. Jumped in the deep end. And
Yep.
all right. So, I would love for you guys to offer any suggestions you have for fellow students or families who are considering homeschooling, folks new to Colby in the beginning, and maybe with an emphasis perhaps on, the ninth grade year or and kind of getting acclimated to that. You've made several suggestions already about getting involved and having a planner, which I think is great. Do you have other study tips or time management things that you want to suggest to folks? Other things having to do with your overall well-being?
So I think really one big thing here is if you can, try to start at Colby early because it will really give you experience with what each assignment demands. And as you go up a grade level, the difficulty will increase, but not so much usually that you can't handle it. I was lucky enough to start at seventh grade in Colby, and that was a huge jump from my very low tech old homeschooling to a full-blown online school, and that gave me a huge jump. And it was quite a transition for my family that year. So starting in Colby in seventh grade, it wasn't necessarily maybe not the greatest thing to do for me in like the short run, but for the long run, once I got to eighth grade, by then I was fully prepared because I had kind of gotten the knack of seventh grade after like maybe second semester, and things got easier for me because I had finally made that transition. And then once I got to eighth grade, I found that it wasn't so bad anymore. The transition was smoother, and we actually accidentally took a very late summer vacation the starting year, so that didn't help either with my homework schedule. But we now that we had known all that stuff, we got it was much easier and a smoother transition to eighth grade. It was pretty seamless. So now that I had experience, I was able to transition pretty smoothly to the next year, and even better for this year. Especially taking a full-blown honors load, I had gotten pretty high marks in seventh and eighth grade in the end, and I was recommended to skip a few grades in math and stuff. So I decided, well, maybe I'm ready to try the honors and see what it's like. So I took a full honors load this year. Scheduling, that was pretty seamless and that was pretty good. Sometimes I feel like it's a bit much, but honestly, I haven't regretted taking a full honors load because now I know what I care about the most for honors. Like now I know that maybe not so much math, but I want to do something in the science region when I grow up. So I want to take that to the fullest. So I will take honors in science courses. And theology especially means a lot to me. So I want to take honors theology because that means a lot. Maybe I'm not so worried about detailed, really getting into the English stuff and becoming an English teacher or something. So I'll take the core classes for those, but nothing really fancy. So taking the full honors load after a good 2 years of experience, that really helped me this year to determine what my future for 10th grade is going to be and what I plan to do after that. So my advice is start off as soon as you can so you can get that experience, and that will really help, especially if you want to get to your higher levels of like honors, AP, dual classes. It really helps to have experience before that with making that jump. And that really especially helped me, and now I know what I can do the next year. So the kind of 2 year experience thing, I jumped to honors and now I know what I want to do for honors and for cores. So that really helps out. So make a schedule where you start off small, work your way up, and then decide from that point what you're going to do, if you're going to go with core or with honor, depending on what you think your future life will be. So that's what happened with me, and I think it's a pretty decent way to figure out your future grades.
Sounds like you took a really active role in making a plan for your future high school years. That's great. Do you also use a planner, or do you use like an online to keep track of it in Schoology? But how do you kind of keep track of all your what you have going on?
It's kind of in my head. I
Okay.
know that's the main thing. I don't. The first time, I gotta be honest, the first time I looked at my planner in seventh grade and I wrote down my first schedule, and I'm like, no, because I didn't feel like I would actually have time to write anything down in a planner. I would probably forget about it if I did, or I would just waste time that I thought I could be doing more productive things like homework or reviewing some lessons. So I often don't use planners. What I often do is I look at the Schoology page. I double check all my course pages to make sure that I have every assignment, because I know that sometimes the main Schoology page can forget a few things that your course actually wants you to do at this point. So I double check all that stuff in the actual course pages so I don't miss anything. And from there on, I kind of plan, okay, this is happening this day. So that means this day I'll do XYZ homework assignments, or I'll listen to this recording, or I'll just review this lesson in preparation for this test, or I'll get ready for this paper, or I'll start a head start on this project because I know it's going to take a while. So it's kind of a figuring out my week. I just, once I come to the beginning of the week, I look at whatever I can for the next few days, and then I plan accordingly. And I found that really helps, especially when I'm taking into account any activities that I want to do outside of school in the week, because if I know I want to do choir and I want to do my youth group, so I know that I can't have things cramming my late nights and Tuesday and Wednesday, so I can plan accordingly from that. So I find it's really helpful to take into account what you want to do outside of school and then see if there's a way you can work a good schedule that's got a little bit of wiggle room, but still allows you to participate outside of school in any other outside activities you have.
I really like the advice of getting in early and adjusting. I'm a public school product myself from a long time ago. But if you look at what you're doing here at Colby, it's much more like a college experience, you know. So like a typical brick and mortar public high school, you're going to spend 8 hours a day or whatever there, but it's going to be very regimented. You're going to do the same things every day. But you get into Colby and it's like the class time is much smaller, even though it's still significant. But you know, you can't just pick up that theology reading necessarily, or especially some of your history readings, and try to just do that a couple of hours before class starts. Is you've got to prepare for that, right? And kind of can take control over your time more than you would have to when it's like, no, bell rang, on to the next class, bell rang, on to the next class, sort of thing. So
Yeah.
it's good to get a little prep before you jump into the. Jumping into the deep end in ninth grade, I always think would be, ooh, that would be a challenge. Those some of those readings.
Sure.
I'll start with transition years, particularly ninth. I would say that these transition years, whether it be sixth grade, ninth grade, 12th grade, any of the grades between, which like 11th and a few others, they're transition years and they're hard. There's a lot of work. You're not alone. They're hard. So I would say that sometimes it might not feel like you're going to be doing school every single day, every single hour, every single minute. You're not going to get a break. And that's true to some extent sometimes. I would say that more important than cramming everything in and doing school every minute, every second, take breaks. Even if it's just for a minute, look outside. If you have a minute between classes, look outside. If you have 30 minutes, take a walk. I would definitely say that it's very important to take breaks because, as I said earlier, your brain needs time to process the information. I would also say for study tips, use everything your teacher gives you. If your teacher gives you anything, use it. If your teacher even gives you a reading check or something, print it. Print everything they give you and review your notes. Take good notes, even if it's just writing as close to possible or paraphrasing what they say. Use them. read them, use the recordings that your teachers give, that they graciously record. So use everything. Finally, don't cram in your studying. It's the biggest don't in studying, because if you have an hour and you cram all of your studying that you could possibly do, and you spend every second of that hour studying, you might as well have not studied, because your brain, the purpose of studying is to recall. And if you're cramming your studying in, your long-term memory is not going to recall that information. In fact, you're going to be, oh, but I remember this, but I remember this also because I was studying at the same time. And so I would recommend do about 20 to 30 minutes of studying, and then take anywhere from a 5 to a 30 minute break. Then come back and study again, and come back and study again. If you don't have the time to take those breaks, then just do a different subject. So that way you're studying in increments for each subject. That's what I would say for studying tips. Time management. And this is why I use a planner sometimes. If I have an assignment due Friday, 40 pages of reading due Thursday, and a lab report due the next Friday. Ironically, that's similar to my schedule right now. Anyway, I would probably do the following and say it's Monday, as I would space my reading, like let's say 20 pages Monday, 20 pages Tuesday, or if I want to space it further, 15 pages one day, 5 pages the next, 20 pages another day. Anyway, how you want to divide up that 40. Because if you cram it all in, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, this is so much reading. I can't help it. I can't process it. If you split up that reading, you'll be like, oh, this isn't too bad. So I would recommend doing that. Set aside time every day to do every subject, because if you do one subject at a time and do the next thing, sometimes all of that subject can be overwhelming. And then for the assignment that's due Friday, depends on how big or how small it is. If it's small, just knock it out. If it's big, space it up. And also, don't be afraid. You don't have to finish something the minute a teacher posts it, one. And two, you don't have to wait till the night before at midnight to get the assignment done. So you have a whole week to get it done. So use that week, don't use one day. And then on the lab report, depends on how much you want to do at different times, and when do you want to start editing, right? So maybe do the background today, maybe do the materials and methods tomorrow, or the conclusion in a week or so. So that's what I would say for time management. And finally, for your well-being, do things other than school. Find something that you're interested in, pursue it, cherish it. I would definitely say that it's important to build these things into your schedule, not just as like, oh, I need to do this because I need the credit for here or something, or my mom signed me up. Do it because you probably won't get a chance to pursue it once you graduate high school again. For exercise, I remember I actually talked with one of the deans on this, because we were having such a hard time fitting exercise and other things in our schedule. And you've probably heard this before, but I will repeat what she likes to quote, which is, when you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else. I'm pretty sure I paraphrased that, but so for exercising, I would say build it into your schedule, because it's not just a credit, it's your well-being. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Take care of it. You're entrusted with your body, not for some random reason. God gave you your body, so take care of it and exercise it to take care of it. Or spiritually, I would say, don't be afraid to receive the sacraments. Don't be afraid to go to confession. Set aside time for adoration. Make sure you're receiving communion, if possible, at least more than just Sundays and such. And if you can't make it to adoration, set aside some personal prayer time, because it's important to not only discern your vocation, but just pray in general.
Very important. Lots of great stuff there. That's great. When you're filling out your planner, do you tend to perhaps, when do you tend to do that? At the beginning of the week? Do you do it at the end of a week for the week ahead?
It depends. I will, for a certain class, like it's if it's once a week, like theology, I'll plan out throughout the course of the week. Sometimes, like if I have an essay to or a bunch of reading, I'll plan out or try to get the idea in my head. What am I going to do on what day so it doesn't overwhelm me on Wednesday or Thursday morning? But usually what I'll do is I'll either the night before or the day of, I'll plan out and write out, okay, what is it that I want to have done by the end of today? So that tomorrow I can still do my work and I can still get stuff done, but it's not as overwhelming as if I hadn't done work today.
Good deal. And you include both your online and offline work in
Yes,
that, all of it
yes,
goes in there? Okay.
yes.
If I may add to what Noah is saying, especially for the notes in honors courses, notes are incredibly essential. I found it especially to be true with biology and with geometry because you have so many formulas, so many definitions, and so many terms you've got to get down. And it really won't help you if you neglect to take notes because either you're going to forget them pretty much as soon as you hear about them, or you're not going to be able to study as efficiently for the next test on those subjects. I know that I have a whole Word document that have a bunch of formulas, a bunch of terms, either biology or geometry, depending on which one I put it in, which document I have, one for geometry, one for biology. But I know instantly if I need to study for this certain, like chapters 17 to 23 or something, I know instantly I'll go to this section of my terms and definitions because that's what I've got. I've got to know those for the test. So I just go through those. And because I've already learned it once and I put it down and I saved it for later, it makes it so much easier to get it back in your head long term. And with all the formulas and details in geometry, just writing those, just putting those fine details down in your notes, even if it's on Word or if you do it or just do it the normal handwriting way, it really helps you to remember, I put this there. That detail is important. So when you come back to it, you instantly know, yeah, this is what I wrote down. I should know this now. I should really know this. So especially for honors courses, take good notes for your terms and definitions because they will come in so handy later.
The note-taking is one of those things that folks tend to learn very quickly in the freshman year, like, oh, we got to be taking notes. Any other thoughts you want to leave with us as we're coming to the end of our time together?
I would say clubs, get involved in a club, choose at least one club to get involved. I've chosen two, if possible, take leadership positions, I would say. Those are fun. They're worth it. And just be involved in a club because you build community that way. Like Caleb said, take good notes. And I would say this for parents choosing Colby, don't be afraid to take a mixture of online and offline classes. Because just because Colby is an online school doesn't mean you have to take all online classes. You can take a mixture of both online and asynchronous because as a parent, sometimes you want to have these courses under your jurisdiction so that you can make your decisions. So like I want my child to do this subject this day. Or I want my child to have this education. And yes, I value what Colby does, but for some reason I'm choosing this. You can do that. Colby is flexible. And so I would say don't be afraid to take both online and offline and courses of your own. I mean, if Colby has it as a credit on the graduation, even if it's not what Colby offers, do it if that's what's best for you.
I've got, I think, two things to add in. If you're, so like for a project or a paper, especially when you're looking for your sources and stuff, if you've got good sources, go all out. They'll make an if you do it right, if you take the right MLA steps in all your work, if you find sources that are credible and have tons of info on your subject, and if this really pertains and helps support what you're trying to make, go all out. Do it. It's going to make you feel really good about yourself when you finish it. I promise you, you are going to feel incredible once you look at that PowerPoint or you read that paper, you look at that A plus 100% test grade, and you say, I went all out on that. That makes me feel really good. You're going to do that every time if you go all out. And then finally, theology. It's not everybody's subject, but there are parts to it that can really get people interested. I know what got me interested in theology was looking at miracles. They're things that seem impossible to us humans, that we can't comprehend them in our brain because it's incomprehensible what God does sometimes. So look for Marian apparitions or Eucharistic miracles. Find ones that are good and credible. Get interested in those. If you get interested in something that God does that is completely impossible in the real world, I often find when I get interested about that, I get so much more passionate about diving deeper into theology. All the, like, for instance, all the Eucharistic miracles on that website that Carlo Acutis made, I've looked through pretty much all of those, and they got me really deep into the sacrament of the Eucharist. All the Marian apparitions, it made me have a huge, huge amount of respect for Our Lady. So get into all the details that that some people sometimes miss. Find those details because they may seem small, but they can mean a lot to a person who's looking for something that's meaningful, especially to them. Like a person who finds a saint has their like has a certain patronage that pertains to their work, or some disability they have, or some talent that they have. Finding a saint that is a patron of that's especially meaningful to that person, because it means that someone went through what they went through, and that God can care about and make a person that has those special abilities or even disabilities, they can make those people saints. So that's important to that person too. So get into all those little details of the saints, Mary, the Eucharist, all those miracles that you find, and you'll find yourself getting really, really into the whole topic of theology. You'll be willing to argue and fight for that in apologetics, especially if you get into all that stuff. You'll be able to use it. So do it, because it's going to make you feel like you're in the right place with your religion.
Yeah, it's fascinating. All that is really fascinating, Drazian. It's neat to get to visit with you guys being friends, and hear about your friendship, and also to hear about the different ways that you are making Colby work for you with your Noah with your hybrid, and Caleb with your online. And I'm glad we got to spend some time talking about the offline to balance out. Sometimes we spend a lot of time talking about the online side, but there's a whole richness to the offline side as well that we are happy to hear more about and how folks are making that work. We were going to have some links in our show notes to some ColbyCast episodes that are relevant to our conversation today. And I want to highlight, as I've done before, on the Colby website itself, colby.org/podcast, the podcast page. We have filters in place on that page. All our episodes are tagged with a variety of topics that come up in the course of the conversation at some point. We have a students tag. So if you want to hear more from our fabulous Colby students, you can head to the colby.org/podcast page and click the students filter. Lots of wisdom, as you guys have shared today, how you all make it work, and pointers for folks joining us and getting going. So Noah and Caleb, I'm really glad I got to visit with you guys, meet you guys today. Wish you the best finishing up your freshman year and in your future studies with Colby. And thanks so much for coming to visit with us.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor being here. God bless you.
You too.
It's been a huge pleasure. Thank you very much.
Subscribe to the ColbyCast on your favorite podcast app so that you don't miss an episode. And let us know how we're doing by leaving a rating or a review. And as always, feel free to email us at podcast@colby.org.
Mary, our Mother, pray for us. St. Maximilian Colby, St. Ignatius of Loyola, Holy Saints and Angels, pray for us. Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam.